listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. All right, you're listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. My name is Tom Elsop, and I'm coming to you from a lovely Urbana, Illinois. And today we have Todd Ventroska from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Todd, how you doing?
Doing okay, Tom. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
That's good. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, this is our first show since the season started. We've gotten a little bit of a late start, but I just happened to notice that J.D. Drew has gotten a hot start since her first couple weeks.
Yeah, how about that?
Any comments on it?
I think, you know, I'm not surprised that he's hitting. I'm just surprised by the amount of games he's played already. He's almost at a full season for him.
No, that's good. That's well put. He's doing okay, playing this time, and we'll just see how long that lasts.
Guess he wanted to make his money early this year.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Good. Get that paycheck in. they have the big Jackie Robinson Day on Sunday. I think that's over 200 players wore the number 42. I think that probably made the scorekeeper's lives pretty difficult on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, I didn't see this stat on ESPN, but I'm betting that it's a record for the number 42s worn in a day.
Yeah.
It all started off with, it was supposed to be one player on each team. It was going to just be Griffey, right? Griffey's the one that asked, and then it snowballed into this.
Right.
And Jackie Robinson was a great player, there's no doubt about it. Right. And what he did for the game and for the African-American community, I mean, you can't diminish it in any way. And he should be honored, and I don't have a problem with that. But I think this time around, I think baseball let it get out of hand, and they should have stuck to their guns. And maybe one person on a team. You know, the whole Dodger team wearing 42,
right.
When I heard that, I thought that was great until I found out that they weren't the only team doing it.
Right, yeah.
The whole Pirates team did it. I think the Padres team.
Cubs wore 42 then.
Yeah. Sure. Andrew Jones wore 42. He's not even an African-American.
Well,
I know he's black, but he's not African-American.
I guess my problem I had with the whole thing was that Garrett Anderson, you know, didn't really have a problem with it. He didn't feel comfortable or didn't really want to wear 42, said it was Ken Griffey Jr.'s thing, didn't feel worthy of wearing 42. And
right, that's what I heard, that he said he didn't feel worthy.
Right, and he got a lot of heck for that. There are people out there who felt like he was being a jerk, that he was not really respecting, you know, the plan. Not respecting Jackie Robinson. I heard even one person saying he didn't like black people. But of course, you know, Garrett Anderson, of course, is black. And like, are we just losing a little bit of what the whole idea of Jackie Robinson and the idea of what he stood up for and that kind of thing? And I think we're just losing a little bit of that whole concept, I think.
Well, I think that's typically what happens over time,
right?
Especially with the baseball and you know, the media and ESPN these days.
Right.
I think it really, you know, they tend to really overhype things, and you
sure.
know, they make it, you know, 10 years ago when it was the 50th anniversary, it wasn't this big a deal.
Yeah,
when they retired his number.
This is the 50th anniversary.
The 50th. I think they should have made a big deal.
Sure.
You know, maybe something like this. But the Garrett Anderson, I think maybe he showed more respect for Jackie Anderson by saying that he didn't feel he was worthy of wearing the number.
Right.
And I think that was a tribute to Jackie, saying that he was, you know, he's not in that same class and he shouldn't be wearing that number.
Right, exactly.
And to some degree, you know, I respect his stance more than I do some of these other guys that decided to jump on the bandwagon.
Exactly. And I can't help but notice that when I go to MLB.com, you know, the first link on top of the page is, shop for your, you know, Jackie Robinson, you know, apparel. And of course, it goes to a page where you can buy all your uniforms or your jerseys with the 42 on it. And I got an email today from Cubs.com where you can buy a jersey, Cubs jersey with 42 on it. And they're marketing the hell out of this, you know, which is no surprise.
Right. MLB never misses a marketing opportunity.
Not at all, no.
That's for sure. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean, I not to take away from what Jackie Robinson did, and I think that if you're gonna market something, this is something you definitely wanna, you know, something worth marketing, and it is a good something worth remembering, and so I do want to say that much at least.
Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do for the 70th anniversary. Or maybe all the fans can wear 43 as well.
Or just, the broadcasters. And actually, I saw, an umpire.
Maybe the umpires.
Umpires were wearing 42. I saw one umpire was wearing 42.
Well, maybe that's their number.
Do they have numbers?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sure they
Well,
do.
They had one that was wearing 42, and I can't
That
say.
Could, that just could be his number, yeah. But umpires do have numbers. They are
okay.
Still numbers.
All right. It could be that he was his number, so who knows, but anyway. So who's hot and who's not so far up until this point? Your Pirates are looking a lot better than I think most people would have given credit for, I think, at this point.
Yeah. They're doing okay. They're still struggling. Their pitching has been, for the most part, pretty solid. They came out of the box hot, 3-0, some late inning hitting and good starting pitching. They went to Cincinnati and dropped 2 out of 3. And then the Cardinals, they dropped some tough ones
right.
in their opening homestand, opening day, which I was at and just literally froze. Whew, was it brutal. Ian Snell pitched that day, gave up one run.
Yeah,
the bullpen gave up two.
Ian Snell is looking pretty good.
Tom, I've been saying this now for, all along that of their pitchers, I'm telling you, this guy is going to be the best of the bunch.
Right.
So, and he's certainly, living up to that right now.
Right.
I mean, he's had 3 outstanding starts so far this year. And, he's got one win to show for it, I think.
Right.
I don't believe he got the win. Well, maybe he did get the win down in Houston. I can't remember now. But, he lost the one game. He gave up one run to the Cardinals in 7 innings. And then the next 2 days, the bullpen blew 2 games in a row.
Yes.
And then
this is like the near me to the Cubs right now.
Yeah. And then the Giants, Barry came to town
right.
For a 3-game stand. They only got to play the one game Friday night.
Right.
Barry hit 2 out, which, I was disappointed that they lost the other 2 games to the weather because I wanted to get to one of them because I wanted to
get
see Barry. I'm a Barry Bonds fan. From when he was a Pirate. And,
sure.
I all the allegations against him and that, I could care less because, my stand is, once again, that, he wasn't the only one and they were all.
Right.
I think the playing field was pretty level. And, he still has to hit the ball. And, he still got to hit the ball.
Well, I heard someone say just today that he's coming dang close to 3,000 hits.
Yeah, he was only about 160 away going
right.
into the season.
And you got to give him credit for that. Steroids or no steroids, you got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, could he be the first player to get 3,000 hits not to make the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. I mean, really. He could. He could be.
Yeah.
So
we'll have to see.
Right.
But I like Barry. I've always liked Barry. I've always been a fan.
Right.
But the Dodgers are playing well.
Right.
The Dodgers have come out playing well.
And the Phillies are
not. How about the Braves? Is that a little surprise to you?
Yeah, that's surprising. And the Phillies are not. What's that surprise me?
The Phillies, this is every year, right? They don't get good until September, then they always miss by a game or two.
Yeah,
exactly. They say you can't lose the division or the wild card in April, but I think
right.
the Phillies have proven that you certainly can.
Well, that was going to be one of my queries for this show, is that can we look at the standings now and say, does it really matter? Doesn't matter that the Phillies are in last place. It doesn't matter that the Braves are 9-4 that, this early in the season. Can we just, it does matter that, they're 5 up. They're 5 games above 500. Those are 5 games you can't get back. But,
right.
So I think every point is well taken. These are games that you can't get back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess in terms of winning percentage, Washington is not in last place. We can say that much.
yeah.
They have more losses than Philadelphia, but they also play more games too. So, they can relish that much so far.
and I guess it's no surprise that the American League West that you've got 3 teams under 500, only a game and a half out.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Typical American League West, right?
Right. Yeah.
It is amazing. Right. Seattle's 5-3, and that's probably only because they got snowed out. Cleveland.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So, right. Anyway, what did you think about that whole deal?
Which one?
By the way, with the Major League Baseball decision to move the Anaheim-Cleveland series to,
okay.
I guess I shouldn't say
Milwaukee?
Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels. Yeah, to Milwaukee. What did you think of that deal?
I think Cleveland didn't seem to have a problem with it, from what I heard. It seems kind of odd or strange, but it didn't seem like there were too many problems with it in terms on either end. Is that, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, no, I was just curious. It seemed to me that maybe they should have, went to Anaheim and then, flipped
yeah,
the series.
That's what I probably would have, how I probably would have handled it, but it's kind of strange.
Cleveland just lost 3 home dates.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think the revenue they got up in Milwaukee quite made up what they would have had if they were at the Jake.
Exactly.
But,
you are talking about Ian Snell and your young star. reminds me a lot of what Chicago's going through with Rich Hill. Boy, I love him.
He's come out of the gate.
Oh boy,
he's throwing well.
He's probably the best one so far this year for the Cubs. And I said at the beginning of the year that the key for the Cubs pitching staff will be Rich Hill, and I hope this is going to be a good omen for the pitching staff for the Cubs. I hope that, but and ironically, the Cubs starting staff is not the issue right now. It's really the offense.
Well, but Zambrano's been a little shaky.
Yeah, it's been shaky.
I wonder where his head is at now. They were so close to getting the deal done.
Yeah, I wonder.
Then the team, all of a sudden the Tribune announces that they got sold.
Right.
The team will be sold, and all of a sudden the deal.
Well,
did they pull it off the table? Or?
I don't think they should have told him that it's because of the team sale or deal. I think they should. Okay, they should have said, okay, we'll just deal this at a later date, and he would have said, okay. But I think it messes with his head when they say it's because of the team sale.
Right. So he's a pretty emotional guy.
He is. Why is that? Is it because a new owner doesn't like me? Is that why? Yeah, because he might think that. I'm sure it's not.
Well, they don't have a new owner.
Well, but it's very possible they have a potential owner, and nobody knows about it, and so who knows? But you're right. He's definitely not on target like we want him to be, I think I'll come around. I do. I hope.
And what's up with Soriano? How about that?
The MRI results came back negative, so that's a good thing.
Well, they didn't put him on the DL, right?
No, I don't think they have. So I don't think it's gonna be, it's not gonna end of the year or anything like that, but,
Did you see the game today?
No, I did not. I saw it on game day, but I didn't see it on the TV.
Mr. Paillet made his debut today.
Yes, he hit an RBI, right?
He had a double.
Oh, yeah.
Drove in a run to make it 3-2, then he scored a tying run.
Alfonso who?
And he made a great throw to throw out Russ Branyan in the 10th inning.
Russell Branyan, okay.
Yeah. Well, still, it was two outs. It was a base hit.
Right.
He had to come charging in. He made he made the throw. He laid out. He got parallel to the ground and threw a perfect strike.
So who's the odd man out when Alfonso Soriano comes back, right?
Oh, I think it's got to be
who?
Merton, right?
Oh, see, I don't know. I would like to see Merton get more time. I mean, I know Floyd can produce right now, but I'm not the only person that says this. I know.
Well, maybe it's Jones. I don't know. Where do you do?
I like
you
Platoon
Jones and Merton. And
I think you need to trade Jones down the road, I think.
Well, maybe that's
what
happens.
Floyd, too.
But, this kid's a talent, PA. And
PA, they're definitely
now
talent.
That he's up here,
Soriano's been down there,
he's got some time to prove himself now. If he's able to do it,
right.
I don't know why you send him back down.
No. I mean, that's true. I mean,
the guy was hitting like 440 or something down in AAA.
Right. So it may be time for him to stay up here. But we'll see.
Yeah, you never know. We'll see. Tell you another surprise, I think, early on anyway, is Adam Dunn.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Hitting the ball. His strikeouts are down.
And he's actually
hitting the ball.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, and he's hitting the ball. But who knows if it'll last. But, he is hitting the ball.
It's a Daisuke. Yeah, he's following Daisuke. How could you not follow Daisuke?
Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, you get tired of the hype and everything,
my God.
But
it's like first you see that the first start of the year, and then it's the first first home start at in Boston, and then it's the
first Thursday start.
Then it's the start, and then he's pitching against the East Rup. And I remember that day when MLB Baseball Channel had said that they were going to broadcast each bat against each row, and I was like, okay, great, And then I heard yesterday his first start in Canada. They're making a big hype about that.
Which he didn't win.
No, she didn't win. But it's just like, what's the next hype start? What, I mean, sure.
Oh, he's got a California start coming up yet.
The first start west of the Rockies. I mean, or whatever, I guess he's already done that. But, seriously. I think he'll be very good. I think he'll be good. Child number two or three starter this year. I think he'll do fine. I think we've gotten past the hype here.
And of course, he's got the famous gyro ball.
Have we seen that yet?
The gyro ball.
Have we?
I don't know. Who knows? It's not even a real pitch.
Is it a real pitch? Yeah, that's an art thing. Can we be sure it's even a real pitch? I've seen
did a thing on, it's like it started like in a comic book or something.
Right.
In Japan.
Well, Bill Nye, the science guy, had a thing about the gyro ball. And it was actually very, very interesting. He actually explained it very well. How he is about, he can really explain things so stupid people can actually understand it. And I should actually put a link on the website for that. But yeah, it actually made some sense. If indeed it actually exists. But I don't know. So anyway, I don't wish any ill will against Matsuzaka. I want him to do well, but at the same time, I like for him to have one bad start just to, you know, shut the hype marketers out, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I felt bad for Ichiro. I mean, the guy was at a severe disadvantage. I mean, every pitch he's getting blinded by 9 million flash mobs going on.
Yeah,
right. I thought he was supposed to see the ball.
He's rubbing his eyes. And
he's swinging at 50,000 baseballs.
Oh, yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh well.
We will see. So Bonds is, you already alluded to this a little bit. Bonds already has, 3 home runs this year. Looking like he might, do alright this year. May make Aaron's record, keep doing their best to keep it quiet, it seems. I know that, Aaron, I think Bonds actually came out and said he's okay with Aaron not attending the West.
Well,
that's like, I guess he's twice or anything like that, but.
He says it, you know. Yeah. I would think at some point he's got to be disappointed. Yeah, I don't know. Hank Aaron, he has the right to do what he wants.
Sure.
I just, you know, nothing's been proven again, and
right.
You know, he's not the only one again.
Right.
And
no.
I just don't think it's right. I feel bad that he's not getting his just due. But.
Do you think that once he gets closer, the tide will change and people get a little bit more excited despite themselves?
I don't know.
I wonder if
Bud Selig is even like lukewarm on what the heck if he'll be there or not.
Right.
I mean,
that's a firm answer from him. Yeah, I was like,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know? We should know by now.
You know,
right?
You know, everybody knew that McGuire and Sammy were doing something. It was no surprise, but man, they didn't have any problem trading them out.
And this is so atypical.
You know, and creating a love fest there.
I mean, usually Major League Baseball knows, you know, exactly what they're going to do. You know, 6 months down the line, and or maybe they just don't want to. You know, let us know. I don't know. But it seems kind of strange to me. That's it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's strange to me, too. But we'll see. You know, I guess the best thing would happen is if he did it in San Francisco, because you know they'll do something for him.
Hey, how about Sammy Sosa? Right.
How about Sammy?
Man, yeah. I think I like what I'm seeing with Sammy Sosa. If he would just get rid of those last 2 years and just cut them on the Cubs, and I know a lot of Cubs fans would hate to hear me say that. But, yeah, what the heck, you know?
Yeah, that's one of my gripes with Cubs fans.
Yeah, well, not me. I'm not an anti-Sosa guy, you know that.
I know.
But, yeah, I have a friend who's a big Cubs fan, and boy, every time we get on Sosa, he's like, he just gets the anti-Sosa rhetoric out, and I'm like, sorry, I can't join you there.
You know, they wouldn't have been one game from the World Series if it wasn't for Sammy.
Right, yeah.
So,
I can't.
Anyway. Uh-oh. He went deep tonight.
Again?
Yeah, guess the White Sox.
Okay, I like them more already.
Yeah, White Sox got beat in tonight.
Oh, see.
So.
I never was a White Sox hater, so Teddy Ballgame started railing on the Cubs, and now I'm all of a sudden I think I've become this White Sox hater, and I don't like that in me, but I can't help it now. I guess it's joined to club, I guess. So, fine.
Well, you know, as you know, we have mutual friends that are big White Sox fans, and ever since they won the World Series, it's hard to be around them sometimes. They really have, it's like they got a long tradition of winning or something, and it's just amazing.
Like the old joke, how are Cubs fans and Sox fans alike?
Yeah?
They both check the Cubs scores first. And you know what? That's true. That is so true.
That's good. That is good. I never heard that one.
I never noticed that. So, well, okay. That's enough of that, I guess. I don't want to. We have Sox fans. We're friends, yeah. We don't want to ruin that. That's what I wanted.
Oh, but I told them, though. It's difficult to be around these people anymore. I mean, it's like, God, it's like there was a comment last year. A few of them came into Pittsburgh for the White Sox, when the White Sox were in town. And they were just gloating like crazy because they beat the Pirates. The first two games of the series, I said, you realize you just beat the worst team in baseball? You're supposed to win these two games? And then the next day, Freddie Sanchez came out and hit the home run, the walk-off homer to win the game. And you thought they were rolling, and you just won 2 out of 3. But then we were sitting around after having a few beers, and Mr. Teddy Ballgame, I'll say his name. He was wondering, he was just not only boasting about the White Sox supremacy, but also the whole American League, and sitting out loud wondering if the National League would even win a game in this year's World Series. And then, well, then the Cardinals turn around and won the whole thing, so.
Yeah.
But, oh, God. So,
yeah.
Anyway. I got so upset about it that I, some emails earlier this year talking about them coming in again for the White Sox and that, and the trash talking about the Pirates started again, so I bet, Kevin Smith, I bet him $20 that the Pirates win the series. And then I went further and said, this one I might regret. I said, I'll also bet you that the Pirates finish closer to first place than the White Sox in their division.
I don't know, so far it looks like you might be okay with that bet. I don't know, I wouldn't count it, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
John Glavine is 7 wins away from 300 right now, I just noticed.
Yeah, that just kind of crept up all of a sudden.
Yeah,
no, huh?
I thought he was like 12, 13 wins away. Now, the season ended last year, and now, boom.
He's a shoo-in for the Hall, whether he gets
it
or not.
You know what? I said that just a few months ago, and one of our cohorts said, Donna said, you kind of said, really? That's all he really said, and it made me think, well, I thought so, and I really think he is.
Oh, how can a guy not be in the Hall of Fame?
Well,
my God, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball for years.
In the 90s, I thought.
So, one of the best left-handers I've ever seen. For a guy that's not even overpowering, really knows how to pitch. He is a pitcher. And this guy can do it, and he's still doing it. They talk about Maddox and his location, Glavin's right there. Well, you know, the way he moves it up and down and in and out.
He's got
one of the best changeups ever.
From the umpires for a few years.
Well, that whole staff did.
But
you know, the plate did seem a little wider when they pitched. Javi Lopez setting up in the opposite batter's box, both feet out of the catcher's box and catching balls, not moving the glove and getting the calls. So it was amazing. So.
Yeah, you had any comments about the first couple weeks of the season?
It's just been kind of frustrating, I think from a player's point of view, it's been tough for a lot of teams to get into a rhythm with all these postponements and pitching staffs are getting juggled around, and it's got to be difficult on these players, having to deal with that. Seattle had to sit around 4 days without playing a game. That was a little difficult. The Pirates went, a couple days without playing, so... Cleveland had they had to get shuffled around. I guess that's baseball.
Yeah, that's baseball.
When you want to start in April, that's what happens. Everybody wants to talk about how they should change the schedule and blah, blah, blah. But there really isn't.
They want seaweed to change the schedule. What are you going to do?
It's not fair that, should San Diego and, Tampa Bay and the teams with the domes and the warm weather cities, why should they be forced to play a lot of front end games at home and then have to be on the road late in the season?
Right, so.
It's not as easy as it sounds to just say, you should open up here for the first 2 weeks, and
that sounds
a lot
like
to think about.
Like college baseball, and I know how that's unfair, so it's just not gonna happen.
From the Pirates' point of view, I know, Jason Bay made a comment that kind of bothered me about how, he couldn't wait to get out of the cold. They went to St. Louis, Monday, finally had some nice weather to play in, and he was talking about, the cold weather. He didn't like it. He was afraid to swing at inside pitches. It's like, you can't have that kind of mindset. Maybe that's why they didn't win a game at all. But you can't have that mindset that you're afraid to swing an inside pitch because your hands are going to hurt. You're getting paid nothing for dollars, Get up there and swing the bat. Things like that bother me when I hear these guys say that. What are you going to do?
Well, speaking of college ball, I got to put in a few minutes of talk time about the University of Illinois. They won tonight, 18-4. They're playing the Illinois State, they've actually been doing pretty well. They had Ryan Hastings was Big Ten Player of the Week the week before, and believe it or not, we actually had a Big Ten Pitcher of the Week this week. We actually have a winning record as of right now, which is but more, a lot more than we didn't have 2 weeks ago, and things are looking a lot better than we have right now. Michigan, of course, is undefeated in the Big Ten play in their first place, but we're looking at playing Robert Morris tomorrow night. I'm planning on going to that game, and Lars Davis, I think, is still leading the conference in hitting, and boy, he hits the ball. He's seen .452 right now. He's ranked in the nation right now in batting average. He's a catcher, and a great defensive catcher, can hit the ball, has power, someone really to keep an eye on. And it's really kind of interesting because, the University of Illinois has a kind of a history of developing catchers. The catcher before him was, another Canadian, Chris Robinson, who, is now playing in the Cubs organization. And then, of course, there's Fletcher, who played for the Blue Jays, excuse me. And then I was talking to Ted about this the other day, Tom Heller, from the Dodgers and the Giants back in the 60s and 70s. He was actually a University of Illinois grad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so it's kind of interesting how they kind of developed these catchers from down back in the history. So Lars Davis is one more, and he's someone to keep your eye on, I think. So anyway, we're kind of winding down the season. The next couple of weeks will be the OSU regular season games, and the Big Ten Conference will be coming up at the end of the I think it's probably sort of close to the middle of the month in May. So that's something to look forward to. I think they'll make it. So anyway,
I hope so. Yeah. That'll be good.
And then of course in June will be the college draft, the rookie draft, I should say. First player draft, excuse me. It's not a rookie draft.
First player, yeah.
Get that right.
Whatever, it's along with baseball.
It's a rookie draft. Anyway. So, what's on your schedule for the next couple of weeks? Are you going to any Pirates games?
Well, I'm moving.
You're moving.
Yeah, we built a house, and we're getting ready to move in on Friday, too.
Wow.
So,
well, good luck with that.
Looking forward to that.
I'd help if I was there.
Yeah, sure you would. But, so we're doing that. Buccos are out of town. They're up in Milwaukee this week, I think over the weekend. Then they head out. They're in Milwaukee the next 2 days, then they head out to the West Coast.
Okay.
Play the Dodgers.
Oh, good luck with that.
And then they come home, and then I'll be up in Minneapolis.
Okay. Do you ever catch any Twins games while you're up?
I haven't got to any this year. I mean, I went to about half a dozen last year while I was up there. Yeah.
Well, that should be interesting.
So, and I have plans to go. Yeah, I plan on going my next time up there.
Okay.
I plan on going.
Catch Santana.
There's a game. I forget who it is. May 4th.
I know.
Oh, the White Sox will be up there. That's right. I'm going to go see the Sox.
That'll be a good division, I think, this year.
May 1st or 2nd.
The AL Central, I think, will be a good division to watch this year.
It will be. I think the Tigers, have to be considered the favorites, because of their pitching.
Right. Every team in that.
Although Kenny Rogers, missing him, I think.
I've heard that. But even like that, I think every team in that division will be improved. Even going down to the Royals. I mean, every team will at least be better than last year. And that says something, I think.
Well, the Royals are what, 3-11? I don't know about that.
I'm talking about the whole year. Yeah.
I don't know, they might have a hard time cracking 50 wins this year.
But anyway.
But, the White Sox, are going to be in for a long year. They're pitching. You know, their hitting might be able to carry them for so long.
Thanks on what he's doing right now, that's for sure.
I guess, but, they're starting pitching.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cleveland will give Detroit a run.
Yeah, they might.
Sabathia is off to a good start, And Cliff Lee is due to come back. But he may have come back already, but he's due to come back either this week or next. He had the strained oblique muscle or something. He's due back. So we'll see. We'll see. I think that'll be, you're right though, it should be a competitive division between the Twins and the Indians and the Tigers and the White Sox. I think they could make it interesting. Could be like another 1967 run.
Yeah.
The old AL West I think it was, right? So, or no, the AL East, I'm sorry, the White Sox were in the East.
Right.
So, you never know, it could come down to it.
Sure. Alright, well, you can listen to Baseball Zealot Radio. If you want to send us an email, our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. If you want to give us a call, our phone number is 217-883-4571. And check out our website address is www.baseballzealotradio.com. Todd, any last words for folks?
No. It's just glad the season's finally here it's the best time of year.
Yeah, I hear you. I was so happy when opening day came, and I wore my Cubs shirt to work, and I noticed a lot of people did it too. They wore their team colors to work, you just kind of gave each other a smile because you knew that, you're a fellow Cubs fan or Cardinal fan, whatever, baseball fan. It was really nice to see you, and that was really cool. So, anyway, talk to you later. Bye-bye.